Hi, it's Ian Pickus, and we're in the Congressional Corner today with our old friend Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll and professor of political science. Tim, it's been a few months. Welcome back.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Ian.
Well, I think the last time we talked, there was a chance that we would not have a Biden-Trump rematch. Would you say, as we speak now in April, that those chances are down to nil?
Yes, indeed. Barring some completely unforeseen development, we're now, although in theory by calendar, in the thick of the primary season, all suspense is over, and we've got our matchup for November.
I know you've talked before about the folly of making predictions in light of the last decade of American politics, but are you, in retrospect, surprised that none of the Trump challengers were able to make more of a dent?
I'm really not surprised. It's been clear that this is Trump's Republican Party, lock, stock, and barrel. And no one could create a compelling argument to give the nomination to someone else. Nikki Haley's arguments about electability, about youth versus age, none of that was all that persuasive. And it just ignored the iron grip that Donald Trump has on the party. This really does seem like a preordained outcome, the Republican nomination going to Trump.
So let's assume then that that is the case and there is a rematch, which would be one of, you know, only a few times in American history we've seen one of those. Who has the upper hand right now?
Well, if the election were held today, Donald Trump would have the upper hand. If we look at national polling, the race has tightened in recent weeks. And I think we might chart the change in momentum to President Biden's State of the Union address in early March, where he had this important opportunity to project a vital, energetic, forward-looking candidate for president. And he seems to have derived some benefit, but it's quite incremental. If you look at the Real Clear Politics average on national polling, it's Trump by 0.2 of a point this week. That's narrowed from one Trump by 1.1 in January. So these are not enormous shifts. But I think many people expect this contest to really turn on very, very small differences. And if this is a sign of a shift in momentum, if it can build over time, we might see Joe Biden regain the upper hand in the contest.
Now, there is a separate issue, which is there's a popular vote, and, you know, former President Trump won a race for the White House while losing the popular vote. So when you drill down into some key swing states, what do the polls tell you there?
Yeah, so depending on who you talk to, this really does come down to either 6 or 7 swing states. And when we look at the averages in the swing states right now, Donald Trump still holds the lead in almost all of them. The one swing state where Biden has an absolutely minuscule lead in the polling averages is Pennsylvania, where it's Biden by 0.1 of a percentage point when you average the polls together. The other states that really made the difference for Biden in 2020, and I'll list them in alphabetical order: Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Wisconsin. Trump holds leads in all of them from anywhere from 1 to 3 or 4 points right now. If we throw in, and it's interesting, for reasons unrelated to the presidential election, folks are looking at North Carolina as a potential swing state because the Republicans have nominated their sitting lieutenant governor, an extremely conservative and controversial figure, to run for governor. And Donald Trump only won North Carolina by 1 1/3 points in 2020. If you look at that, we're talking 94 electoral college votes across those seven swing states. Trump currently leads in six of them. And, Biden's got some work to do. And we see him doing it. He's been to Wisconsin recently. He's been to Michigan recently. He is taking nothing for granted and running like he's 5 or 10 points down, which you need to do in a close race like this.
Well, you pay more attention to the numbers than I do, probably, but how unusual is it to have the race come down to two people with approvals basically in the 40s, you know, the low 40s?
It's very unusual. When we compare, neither of the candidates is all that popular. So if we look at the average favorability rating for President Biden right now, it's 39%. For former President Trump, it's 43%. They're each underwater by double digits. Their disapprovals are well above 50%. And we know in national polling that many voters have said this is not the matchup they want. But this is the matchup we have. And so it's going to come down to a few key factors, turnout, of course, being one of them, a few lucky breaks, and being able to capitalize on political developments, which seem like they're going to play an even larger role this year because the race is so tight.
And we'll get back to that point as our conversation develops. But I wanted to stop and ask you about the third party candidates this time around. We've got RFK Jr., and he announced as running mate, Jill Stein running again for the Greens. Do you think they'll have an important role to play here?
It depends. It depends on whether they can qualify for the ballots in swing states. That is where the effect could be. We're seeing RFK Jr. running in double digits in some parts of the country. And it seems like it's a combination of the Kennedy family name, a desire for an option other than Trump or Biden. But the larger issue is, can he get the signatures needed to get on swing state ballots? And with early voting, some of those deadlines will be coming up fairly soon. If he can, he could play a pivotal role in the race. I'm not expecting, obviously, that he would carry any state, but if he draws votes from Biden in particular, he could affect the outcome of the race if it's in a swing state.
Another thing that might change this time around from the norm is that there might not be any debates between Biden and Trump, at least not head to head. Do you think that matters, and not only just to the race, but, you know, to the country?
It does matter. It matters on a political level, and it matters on a philosophical level. On the political level, in a tight race like this, and it's hard to believe, given that each of these men has been a major political figure in our country, Trump only for just under a decade, but Biden for 40 years. People have fixed views on each of these candidates, but there will be folks who are persuadable, very, 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 very small number. And these debates can sometimes do that. It's not so much the act of watching the debate, it's the buzz, the follow-up, the conversations with people in your social network, your family, your friends, your co-workers. And so these debates, while they don't have big effects on the race, at the margins, they can have effects. The philosophical issue is simply this. We have so few occasions when we as a people get to put questions to our leaders and have them on the spot on the national stage. And losing that by not having presidential debates is just ridiculous. I mean, it completely undermines the whole point of having elected officials who are accountable, who answer to the people. And it would be a terrible shame not to have those debates. It would be an absolute black mark on our political system. And yet, at this point, it's hard to see it coming off because former President Trump has been adamant that he's not interested in debates put on by the Presidential Debate Commission. It would be a shame if that held on through the fall.
Yeah, it's easy to see that, you know, as we hear a lot about America's information silos and, you know, the sides having their own news ecosystems and bubbles, that if the two of them don't get into the same place at the same time and answer the same questions, it's pretty obvious that those will only deepen. In any event, we're talking to Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. And when we come back the next time, Tim, let's pick up the issues you were talking about in the race.
Look forward to it. Thank you.